Why are we doing this? Good question. We want to do something that is better, a little bit different than before. Usually you guys get things in the mail that explains who the candidates are, which is great. And then we have the election night where they give their speeches, which is great. But the problem is that those things are limited. The speeches are timed. They're not allowed to go over. The one-page write-up, two-page write-up, three-page write-up sometimes doesn't really have a specific format, not that I'm aware of anyways. So we wanted to do something that was a little bit different, something that would give a little bit more latitude, a little bit more freedom to candidates to talk about what they care about. So this is how it's going to work. Everyone who comes on this podcast, every candidate that comes on this podcast, at least for now, talks about three issues, concerns, things within their platform, within what they want to do if they were to be elected as political leadership in their community. That takes up about 2/3 of the podcast. The rest 1/3 is Jared and I asking three questions based on governance, culture, and what a healthy community looks like. That's for everyone. That's the way it goes. We don't determine what they come on and say, the concerns they bring. We're not here to promote any single person. We're here to give a platform to people who want to say what they want to say about being elected to office. Now, if there's anyone out there listening who didn't get the invite and we didn't get to you, and you're running, we want to hear from you. Contact us on Facebook. Come knock on Jared's door, not mine. He lives on Fox Road, by the way, everyone, just so you guys know. And come on this podcast. We want to give everyone an equal opportunity. And if you don't, that's fine too. But we think it would be cool if you did. Today is the first candidate we're going to be talking to. And her name is Bobbi Tronson. In about a minute here, less than that, Bobby's going to tell us about her three concerns. And Jared and I are going to be asking questions intermittently as she describes those concerns. Now, in her own words, she's got a lot to say, which is great. But this podcast is also limited to the half hour mark. We're not here to take up people's time in a big way. Listen to it on while you walk your dog. Listen to it at your workout. Listen to it on the way and back to and from work. But it's going to be a half hour. So wait for it. So Bobbi, talk to us. First issue you want to talk about is why you decided to run for office. At least put your name in the hat and keep it in the hat.
Yes, so white everybody, why I decided to run. I have, I guess, the growth in my life that has changed in the past couple of years has just moved me forward into putting my name in right now. So at this moment, my family has talked to me about running a few of my friends, and so voila, and my name was in. My passion is always community and always been my family.
Yeah, you mentioned that in your write-up.
That's just who I am. I feel like, as in my write-up too, that my strong point and my asset is being a people person in a community auntie to not just my close family, but to all children and people in the community as well.
So you wanted to run because you love your community. You've got a passion for the community. And what does that look like then? So maybe when you get in office, what does that passion and that desire for community look like?
That passion and desire is talking to my people and really understanding what they want and what they're looking at. And not just talking to them and not hearing, but really listening and understanding that. And when you can talk to someone like that and they feel that comfort and comfortness in you, you earn a lot more. You earn a lot more respect and trust and value. You know, it's I'm out there all the time, every day, talking to my people, and they get 100% of my time.
Right.
Always. Every day.
So you're saying, like, in terms of like getting into office, if that were to happen, you'd make yourself available in that way, that trend would continue.
I wouldn't change who I am as a person, no matter what position I hold. That being a traditional auntie, that being a stay-at-home foster mom, that being a position that I held in the WFN before, or any other organization for that matter.
Right.
It's just always been who I have been, and I would continue to do that. I think that having your time spent and letting your membership be heard, no matter what the conversation is, when you feel that you've been listened to and you feel heard, it makes a person feel good and better about themselves and the other person. So I think having compassion and heart is what I like to bring to the table in my upcoming election of being here, of being present and being with the people.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
Let's see. One of the reasons why I chose to have my name in it this time too is that right now I'm available to dedicate and give 100% to helping my community families out. Right now I'm currently just doing my traditional role in my community. I've been doing a lot of harvesting and gathering lately. I've been going out with not only people within my own community, but all across within the Okanagan Nation as well too. I was with the Okanagan Nation Alliance for a little while, and that was an awesome opportunity for me to have and be able to go out and meet other elders within our community. And that just opened up so much for me and made such an awesome, beautiful connection with different elders in our community. And so much knowledge that I was able to learn and share. And that's one of the things I do is as soon as I'm given some knowledge and some education, I thrive on putting that out there and sharing it, because that's one of the things as us as people we need to do is we don't need to hoard that knowledge. We need to share that so we can keep that spirit and that culture alive.
So maybe this is a good point to jump to the next topic that you want to talk to in this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to talk about culture as something that, and we're going to have some questions later on about that, but that's how important that is to you. So how does that, why culture? Why do you want to talk about culture in terms of possibly coming into an official position of leadership in our community? How does that translate?
Actually, I have one more question about mm-hmm. the...
Sorry, go ahead.
Do you feel that our band would be stronger or if we had more interconnectivity with other bands in the Valley than we do right now? I know we have the AGM and we have ONA, of course, but there have been multiple bands back out of ONA recently.
Yes, I'm nodding yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
And then also the sharing of culture, but also economy, because they share the same economy as us. A lot of them are logging based and tourism based, which is our bread and butter as far as our economy goes. And then they share the same culture, and some of them share the same language, and others have a version of our language that is intelligible to us. But how do you feel that will reflect in your time as a counselor?
As my little time that I did spend with ONA, I did notice that there was a little bit of gaps and stuff, and a lot of that is, I believe, that comes back into the own band and their negotiations with ONA and how they want to be represented. Maybe some more information on that, and not only through their chief and councils, but also to their membership, right? I mean, the people do have a right to speak up to say what they want to be a part of. And a lot of people do want to be part of the Okanagan Nation Alliance within the whole aspect of it. I know that we get invited to all sorts of events and things like that. But when it comes down to, feeling off topic here for a second. let me refocus again. Sorry about that. When I was there, I loved that opportunity of being able to travel to our communities, sharing that information. Sometimes we have to start at the bottom of just doing our grassroots and speaking to the people directly. And that's the only way you're going to get things across. For support, for education, for knowledge.
Education for the ONA.
Education just around what's going on and what's being spoken out.
Right.
And education on sharing what's going on in our communities as a whole and as a group. And that can go right back into our own band as well, too. We have a lot of times where people don't know what's going on, or they want to know, or they miss out. Where do we find the gaps for that? One of the things where what I like to approach is that is our communication style, you know.
For our band.
Yeah. Being able to communicate and talk to not only our representatives, which is our chief and council, But being able to talk to our... I'm losing my track here. Sorry about that.
Communication. You want to not just talk to Chief of Council. Who else do you want to talk to?
I want to be able to make sure that the membership have their voices being heard.
How do they have their voices being heard?
Sometimes
this may tie on to the governance issue, but so yeah, go ahead.
Having their voices being heard, and right now I think we're making those stepping stones toward that, where our membership are starting to feel that a little bit. We are having, I love the membership page. I think that that's a great start for
the membership Facebook
page, right. But that doesn't target everybody. There's only 300 and I think like 20 people on that who are members, and we still have about
700 plus.
860. Of course, knowing that some of those are children and under, of course, as well, too.
Right.
But are we targeting everybody? Is everyone getting all the information?
Do we want 3-year-olds to have Facebook
pages? Definitely not. But that's the thing. But with the people who are able to be informed and make choices for their children, right?
Right.
So we have things out there that families are entitled to have as benefits. One of the things that I always come back to is, why am I here?
Like on this earth.
Yeah. Why am I here or in this position or role? And that's because I want to share my education and knowledge, or provide the best information I possibly can to my community fellow people. That's why I chose the position as a family program coordinator before, because I wanted to share what's in my heart.
Right.
What's in my mind, and to all ages, right? And that starts even with the basic culture and tradition and teachings. And that's what I do. That's what I've always done.
So how does that relate to governance, though, if you were to be elected?
Bringing forward the cultural piece is an aspect of not being able to rush into things always. We've already seen that in the past, and that's been done. Rushing into something
like big infrastructure projects
is not the way to go.
Right.
Having proper policies and maybe some procedures in place that we're able, that the community is able to have their input in. We've already seen some things in the past that have gone wrong with some development issues that have failed. Why is that?
Why do you think that is?
I think that, the membership weren't really given full transparency on what was going on.
Right.
The membership wasn't able to understand the language that was given to them as well. When you're given documentations in a court or a legal aspect and you're sitting there reading it, it's pretty much Greek to people. And then you're left more confused of not really understanding what you're reading. And you know what? Sometimes I don't understand that as well. And then I don't like leaving someplace thinking that I feel stupid.
Right. Right.
I don't know any other words how to put it, but when you feel that way, you feel shame. You feel, and then are you going to speak up about that? Is someone going to bring that up because they feel that way?
So that comes back to the communication issue of having things as literate, or actually, there was talk a little while ago about having our constitutional literacy classes in our community, or making things so that you don't just come to a band meeting and get a handout, which is great. But look, if I gave you my academic papers, you'd probably have a hard time understanding some of what I'm saying, because it's a certain kind of language that is not made relevant.
Yeah.
So what the university, and I'm going to come back to what you're saying, what the university has done now is that upon your defense of your dissertation or thesis, as a master's or a doctoral student, you have to provide a layman's explanation of your doctorate. And when you apply for scholarships, you have to provide, they call it plain language, description of what your research is about. So it comes back to what you said about the idea of communication within our governance structure, right?
So you think some of the accountability has been lost in just people not understanding? Okay, so going forward, you'd want to do something like have everything translated into plain English instead of legalese, or...
Yeah, thanks for sharing, but yeah. I mean, when you don't understand what you're reading, it doesn't seem like that's being shared properly, right?
Right.
And I think that majority of our membership still don't understand that language.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree. I was at a band meeting one time, and they were going over possibly the financial statements, possibly one of the infrastructure projects on a PowerPoint. And I turned to someone beside me, someone of our, you know, members that, you know, had known mm-hmm. since I was a kid, older than me. And I said, are you understanding anything that's being said? And he looked at me and said, nope, yes. I don't understand anything. And I thought that was interesting, right? I mean, that wasn't that long ago. That was about, I guess, 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. But it comes back to the same principle of communication. So as in governance, what would you do to better that?
Well, I want to change that communication style. I want to be able to...
So you develop some policies surrounding communication, or at least propose it at the council table.
Yes. Okay, yeah, good. Make that accessible so that the transparency is available so that the membership can understand it. And then maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe that might change slowly in a way that people might start coming back into band meetings to understand what's being shared with us better.
Right.
Because I go to band meetings all the time. And I'm always whispering and talking because I'm trying to ask someone else around me or beside me, what did that mean?
Right.
I'm not understanding some of the language.
I mean, that's a simple, look, every government hires consultants. You can hire consultants around communication to better your staff in terms of the message you get out. It's mm-hmm. not that hard. We have members who could do that in our community, go and train staff how to speak their specific department stuff into what, you know, people would understand written or in speech. Bobby, let's jump into culture mm-hmm. as a third thing. I think that was kind of like our governance piece. I feel as though anyways, we can always come back to that if we have some time. You want to talk about culture as your third thing.
Yes.
How do you go ahead and talk about about that in terms of your vision, goals, aspirations?
Well, I've been, right now, lately, I've just been diving into harvesting and gathering right now. I have time on my hands right now to be able to dedicate my spring and summer to that right now. And with that, it's just so grounding to... sorry, I'm going to get a little emotional about it.
No, that's fine. But, that's fine.
It's so grounding, and it's so peaceful just to be out there on the land sometimes, to be at one with what you're doing, with your prayers, your gathering. You know, I do the gatherings for not just myself, but for my people. So when I'm out there Indian tea picking, I'm thinking of everybody who I'm giving this to, mm-hmm. you know, who it's going to affect, who I'm providing some warmth with, who I'm providing positive energy and growth and just a cup of tea for.
Right, yeah.
And when you're doing stuff like that, it just makes you feel, I don't know, just makes you feel great and good inside. And connected. So connected. And that's what I want to bring back, is that connection. We've rushed so much in the day of age that we're living right now with so many things that we have to do. And that comes back to part of our community, right? I mean, the main things that I want to make sure of within our whole community is that we have all of our basic needs met. And that's just being food, shelter, clothing for our people.
Right.
You know? And then, of course, to be able to find that identity of coming back to your spirituality. Let it be in any way that you have a connection to. Having that culture with you and coming back to... say, going gathering, bringing your families to programming that WFN has and hosts. We have so many great things out there for our families in all ages. And I just feel like once you experience those things on a daily basis, it really
makes
you feel great.
You feel that you would bring that aspect back to our community?
Definitely. I would like to... I do that in my everyday practice of when I get up and when I'm me.
Right. But how do you, so if you were to be elected as counselor, how do you see that? Like, how would you incorporate? That's wonderful. Like, you're reconnecting. Yeah. It's a great experience to be out there, right? Yeah. It really is enriching in many ways. Do you create policy? Do you that on your own time and say, look, I'm doing this. Do you have Bobby's cup of tea? Come talk to me. You know, with some Indian tea, right? Every Thursday.
That could happen.
You're welcome for the idea.
But it's being out there. And I think that's what I want to be and represent, is being out there in my community and showing and guiding as a leader. You know, I mean, you only do what you can do when you have an audience with you. You practice what you preach,
right?
So, I mean, and in doing that, that's what I want to do in an upper ladder level. I do that within my family programming when I was the coordinator there. I want to move that forward and the bigger capacity for all the members to have. Let it be not even the ones who live in our community, but further out within our Okanagan Nation, within the people who are in Silchin, who are, or Silks, who are out there living in Toronto, or we have some family and community members who live in Florida.
Yeah, we have some in Montreal, that's for sure.
And to be able to share that, how does that look? Well, you know what? That's where I can go back into communication. We need to utilize our tools that we have right now and merge our culture with what we're doing right now. And those are the things that I like to practice and do too. You know,
some big ideas.
Is we have to have our culture merging to where we're fitting in today's life and society too, right? So when I go tea gathering and picking, it's not that I'm just, I have tools with me that I use. But it's just having patience, I believe. I believe that's still a practice that I'm doing. I have a 3.5-year-old he's well on giving me practice on my patience and in my listening skills and just
I wouldn't know anything
spending
about
time.
That. I wouldn't know anything about that.
So when it comes down to families and the community, I mean, that's just where my heart and passion is. Right now, I'm taking care of a child in community right now.
Right.
I believe that all of our children need to be taken care of, and our community members need support within that.
Do you think those support structures are there?
I believe there is some improvements that we could definitely make within that structure.
Sorry, I'm just going to have to play my violin. Need a violin break, just playing my violin there.
And just enhance it a bit better. We have such a large membership of people to only having maybe one support person. And when you have one person and you have how many people needing you, you don't get seen that often when it comes to those types of ratios, right?
So maybe you're saying some of those improvements could be in terms of capacity building,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Better building positions, positions.
Yeah.
Right.
Working closely more within our communities, outside resources and stuff, and getting more educated, because me as a support person within my community, I had zero knowledge of what I was doing and what I was walking into, but everything that I'm doing right now, I love where I am and where I'm at. And I'm just only doing my own personal research on what I can do to help support my family even better and help support other families within that situation.
Right. So then maybe let's dive into the three questions Jared and I have, because this dovetails nicely. Jared, do you want to go ahead and tackle that first one there?
First one.
Hey.
Well, it doesn't actually dovetail that well. It's kind of a hard question to ask, but it's something that I've noticed definitely since I've moved to the community is,
Sound like you moved away somewhere like far for a long time.
I did. I lived in Calgary.
Yeah, that's true.
I moved home and I've been living out of community, and, I noticed the resurgence of like drug houses, seems like a lot of dealers are back, and we've recently had a few overdoses in my family. We've had deaths in a couple of families, including mine, and I just wondered what you thought about that going forward for community health wise, what we should do with that. Do you think it's being tackled effectively, or do you think we could change?
We definitely need to add on to it. I mean, obviously, we still are having a crisis. And I'm personally affected as well, too. I have family within my own who are affected.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in an overall support. It's not necessarily, why do people have an addiction or mental health issues or problems?
Violent break.
We can't just fix things with just a housing situation. We need to be able to go back further into that. It's not necessarily, I personally believe it's not necessarily just an addiction issues. We have mental health issues and problems that fester those things. We have trauma that has happened first before someone has dived into where they're at and their place in their life.
Right.
So there is a root there first. That root needs to be healed and fixed first.
Do you think we have those services to address that root?
We don't right now.
Why not?
I think we can take a look right now with where we're at with community services. And, right now, they're lack staffed right now, right? Where do we go back and find those reasons on what's going on with the high turnarounds?
Right.
Currently, at this moment, they have a very scarce health team or wellness team right now.
We actually talked a little bit about turnover in our first episode.
Yes. We're looking for another principal again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's out. So if anyone knows of someone who wants to become a principal of Sensei Houston, there is a job posting for that.
I don't know anyone with an education degree at all.
But why are we having a high turnaround too?
So you think addressing the root problem for the hard drug use goes back to having the services that...
That's right. We can't help somebody if we don't have the services there to help support those people. Right now, we don't have anyone in that area within our wellness team at the moment. And when we did, we've gone through quite a few people already.
So what kind of it's policy really would you create for that then?
To build trust with somebody.
Right, right.
When you're moving forward or right. you're mm-hmm. moving out. And for somebody who is struggling... to just get in the front door for an individual.
Right.
And you're locked out.
Right.
Do you know how much courage it takes for someone to open a door?
Yeah.
And you're locked out? But guess what? You can go right back to the drug house.
Right.
To the party shack or wherever it is you're going. That door is always open.
So you're in the thick of that. So I don't mean to interrupt you. We're running out of time here. But you're fine. This is real. This is good. This is exactly what it's supposed to be. Going back to that like leadership level then, in terms of a council position, what would you do to ameliorate exactly what you just, you know, very passionately described? I want to
open the doors. Open the doors. Let the people in so that they can ask for services. But when you're locked out...
How do you open those doors?
I'm going to turn the darn key and unlock it. That's what I'm going to do.
Straight forward to the point.
That's what you need to do right. is open the door.
So policy-wise, though, what could we change?
What does that look like
going forward?
There's reasons why I believe that the door was locked. Issues that happened a couple of years ago in the past with the Lillooet incident. Health and safety reasons for people. But it's really hard as an individual and a community member that if our staff does not feel safe within our community to let the people in to use services, then there's a bigger problem.
That's a valid question, right? Because that happened right after the Lillooet incident. And for those listeners out there, the Lillooet incident was that a member came into the band office. I believe it was some kind of weapon. I think it was a hammer.
Yes.
Some stuff went down. After that happened, a number of communities, including ours, ended up having a locked door policy. Which is, in all fairness, is not uncommon. You need a fob to get into past X door, this door, that door.
Even into the main building.
Or even in this case, into the main building. So it's a valid point to bring up in terms of safety. Is that, well, was it precautionary or was it fear-based? Was it good policy? I'm not saying I have the answer to that, but you bring up a valid point in terms of like when we have people who have needs and are going through trauma... And quite literally, the door's locked. Is there a way around that? How is that addressed?
You know, it's we're not Lillooet, right? We're not of another community either. But every community and nation is always different and has their own situations too. You know, what can we do to make those things better? One thing that breaks my heart is when you have somebody who has an epiphany, who wants help and support, and they go down there to open the door, to get in, to maybe make that change and that step.
Yeah.
And that door's locked.
Right. Yeah.
That really hurts.
And right now that door's locked because we don't actually have a staff member to handle community addictions counseling and things like that, is what you're saying.
Do we?
I don't know. Right now, they don't have a clinical care coordinator. Mm-hmm. They don't have a counselor there present. They're missing a few people from their team, I believe, or they're in the process of doing rehiring right now. But the thing is, there's a high turnover too. Okay. You know, why is that happening? What's going on there?
Yeah.
Community services is based for our membership to receive help and support and education and information within our nation. That's why we are there in the heart of the community there. But you know, it just breaks my heart, like I said, when you can't get in.
Okay, so let's go to our last question. You made your point very clear, so I appreciate that very passionately. Accountability. We talked about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's spend 2 minutes talking about accountability. What does accountability look like as an elected official in office for you?
Well, accountability for me is I want to be here. I want to be here to help support and represent and speak for my fellow membership. And of course, what I'm saying is that a lot of people know where my heart and my passion lies, and that's really where I want to focus. My leadership is for the people, to the people, for culture, language, education, community services, supporting our homes within our nation. I love right now what's going on. That we're going to be having some more housing for our people. That's definitely a plus.
Sorry, how does this come back to accountability?
Sorry, I got off topic. Yeah. Accountability for me is...
if you were to be elected.
So you said earlier that accountability was... partly for you is clarity of language.
Yes.
So people actually understand what's being said, as well as transparency.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes. Accountability to my membership is being accessible. And I believe I am. I'm accessible usually everywhere I go when it comes to giving my membership and people time. I do that. Time.
What about money?
Mm-hmm.
Finances.
Accountability. Yes. I believe that if the membership have issues and concerns, I would like to try to personally address everything that I possibly can within my statute of power that I could do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with 860 membership, it's impossible to please every single person. But what I can do is provide and support and give as much information as I possibly can that I know how to.
Right.
And if I can give what I can, the best that I can, I believe that's me being accountable for myself, right, and for my membership, for the people. Right. And that's what I want to do, is I want to give that back.
What do you think about that? Jared and I talked about very quickly here as we wrap up. We talked about the credit card statements and how you can request detailed billing, but you have to request it.
If somebody really wants to do something, no one person cannot do something on their own, right? You have to always put your foot forward to get someplace, to go anywhere. So putting that back onto us as individuals, we need to be able to be accountable too. So if we're looking for something and we want to go to school, what do we have to do? We have to go and go someplace, to go see someone, to go do that. Accountability too comes to us as membership as well. So right, if we're looking and needing to look for some information or wanting some clarity or information, we got to ask too.
So do you think we should have to ask for those statements?
If an individual would like them and want them, I I don't see why not.
I'm only asking because it's been a point of contention the past couple of years.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I really love reading the newsletter, especially the quarterly reports. It's been emphasized all the time within one of our counselors' write-ups all the time, that if we wanted to ask for first financial statements and quarter or their personal credit card statements, that we're entitled to do that. I've never actually asked, but it's out there and that we can. Have you guys exercised your right?
I know somebody that asked. The reason we brought it up in the first edition of this was episode of this was that there was a time before when you could ask for those statements, but what you'd get is a call from that candidate. You'd get a call from that counselor or the chief or whatever at the time. And you might get the statements, but like after a fairly lengthy conversation and...
Or you told me about a time where they didn't actually get them.
And well, no, the person that I know of didn't actually get them because they didn't have the right answers for why they were looking for them.
Okay. Well, I know myself personally going forward that if that was needed or wanted by anybody, that I would freely offer and give that as if that's what that was requested.
Cool.
You want to see my bank statements now? Oh, just kidding.
Well, now that you said it, I'd love to see it.
Is it paperless?
Bobby, thanks so much for coming on. We really wish you luck in this next coming election. White Limnum.
Thanks for having me.